A far-reaching initiative at the University of Louisiana at Monroe looks to focus resources on helping the community of Lake Providence. The program, in its early stages, will work to identify the needs in the area and empower residents with the skills and training to meet them. It's the Lake Providence and ULM Center for Success. That's an acronym for Synchronous University in Community Capacity Building, Education, and Social Strategization. Joining us now to talk about it are two of the early architects, Dr. Pamela Salisbury, the head of social work at ULM, and Dr. Karen Capera-Fry, the Biedenharn Endowed Chair of Gerontology and the interim head of Gerontology, Sociology, and Political Science. Pam Salisbury, how did the discussions about this project first get started?
Well, this past summer, I had a phone call from Sister Bernie Barrett in Lake Providence, and she was saying that being a resident of Lake Providence and that she wanted to get any help, as she said, from the university to foster things that were already happening in the town of Lake Providence. And for later on, Dean Cass approached me about not only mentioned Sister Bernie, but also mentioned the desire to partner with the things that were already happening in Lake Providence, and it kind of snowballed from there, and I found out that Dr. Fry was also going to be involved, and I think she can speak to me.
Looking at it from the standpoint of doing a study versus looking at not just a study, but a study with an action plan attached
exactly
to it.
Right.
And I think part of it, too, Dr. Salisbury mentioned there's been work done before. She, for instance, did some work with African-American parenting. Other people have partnered with the community of Lake Providence. And I think that this concerted effort also was something that President Bruno is in support of, as well as the Council of Deans, in particular Dean Cass and Dean Reimer, who want to forge a partnership where we can offer some training educational opportunities for the community. So part of what we needed to do is start and look at what are the needs and what are the issues in the community. So I think that this, you know, that's how Dr. Pam Salisbury and also Dr. Rob Hanser is involved from criminal justice here at ULM in this initiative to see what kinds of needs we have and how we can empower the community to make some pretty significant transformative changes. We started out both kind of working with the community and then said, well, let's just do this together. Let's make this a big concerted effort. And I think it's been we want to make this a stronger, bigger partnership than I guess it has been in the past.
When partnership with the community and building that partnership to go to people in the community mm-hmm. and all levels to see Definitely. Exactly what kinds of things that they wanted partnership with.
So how did you go about doing that? 7 data collection trips, over 400 surveys. Mm-hmm. What are the kinds of things that you were looking to find out?
Well, again, looking to record the voice of the people and seeing what they thought their strengths were and how we could help to even make them stronger. And so it took 7 trips with our students. Dr. Fry, your student, your emerging scholar?
Yeah, she's from Kenya. And then we also had Erin McGann, who's the daughter of Dr. Job. McGann out of SSRL, Social mm-hmm. Sciences Research Lab here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and a host of Dr.
Work, yeah, we always do a service learning project
right.
in my human behavior and social environment, which this fit right in, human behavior looking at the social environment. And I had Stephanie Robinson, LaCostia, I always mispronounce her name, and she just always laughs about that, Henderson, Rose Coleman, and Chiquita Morgan, as well as one male, Jeremy Oliver, who loved being in that position, but that were made these trips with us to collect, and it was a very enriching educational experience for all the students involved.
So,
and I think, well, one of the things I think that was important is, you know, we first sought out, and actually Sister Bernie sought out you, Dr. Mm-hmm. Salisbury, at one point, but also we found the key advocates, the community
exactly.
leaders, and one of the leaders, Rosie Brown, runs Community Action, a program within the community, and we couldn't really have gotten 466 surveys in a short time, and we are talking probably 45 minute to 1 hour trips on each of these 7 mm-hmm. times, and that should blow one's mind to figure over 400 surveys. But and the people really what we learned and what we feel is the voices, they wanted voice. They really wanted to be heard. And they certainly had a great evaluation themselves of what was needed in the community and were very helpful. So, you know, the fact that they waited, I think one instance we were running a little late, and they waited over 3 hours lined up outside the building waiting to talk to us. Now, I don't know many other people that would do that. I mean, that was just because they wanted to make sure that we heard what they said mm-hmm. accurately. And we appreciate
that. And spread the word to others.
So
each subsequent trip, we had a large population
of people
who wanted to have their voices heard.
What's the next step? To be analyzing this data, sifting through it, and looking what it holds, but then what are the action steps that go beyond the studying side of it?
Well, for you know, one of my students pointed out, we have service learning projects, and we were analyzing the data, especially the qualitative data on what people thought they could use some help with. Now, when we, and I think Dr. Farber, you was looking at a grant that we've never mm-hmm. had in this area, but that would lead us, the information we have will lead us to the direction to look for grants that will help empower the individuals. There are such as they're interested in summer youth job programs. And one of my students was saying, well, that would be a really good service learning project where we could go and not only help them to have a job, but help them to develop the skills to keep being employed, like dressing, attitude, you know, work habits, those kinds of things. So the information will lead us in the direction to look for grants that will help to give them the opportunity. They're motivated, they have the capacity, and this will give them the opportunity to develop skills.
It's very noteworthy, as Dr. Salisbury said. Lake Providence is now seen as the poorest city in the United States. And sadly, one of their big needs or issues they raised was jobs. So we see, but also you can look at health care needs and other issues. A third of their population is 60 plus years of age, meaning elderly. So we have a long-term care, health care issue needs, and other things. So when I was digging around, what I found is that the Health Resources and Services Administration, fondly called HRSA, in fact, had never given a dollar to the entire state of Louisiana. Now, we are talking, what their big thing is rural health care initiatives. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can't think of a better place to be a recipient of some of, you know, the resources to get people trained within the healthcare industry. The need for nurses is just as great there as elsewhere. There are some possibilities we can do. We can also work with housing was an issue.
And transportation.
And transportation
to
get to jobs.
If you get a job and you can't get there, you know,
right.
You're not going to keep it.
So HUD comes to mind. Robert Wood Johnson would definitely be interested in the elder care, long-term care aspect of this. So, I mean, you know, we see lots of possibilities based on what their voices told us and what we found out from the survey. So I think that, you know, not only the service learning students in social work had some really great ideas about some little seminars and training that would meet the needs of the people at the community level, we also want to bring in some bigger resources to forge this larger entity, a transformative center, we'll call it, which is a partnership between Lake Providence and ULM. And so what we want to do is be able to empower them, provide resources, get some programming going, and then kind of back off. And at that point, they should sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not good enough to bring a grant in with some quick fix money that's a one-time deal. We need to empower the community to continue long after ULM pulls itself back out. So,
and it's very important. That we the seeds have already been planted. We want mm-hmm. to fertilize those seeds so that they will, you know, grow continuously without individuals from outside. And so everything works better when it's something that the individuals, as they did, told us, this is what we're doing, this is the help we need, provide it, and then thank you.
Dr. Pamela Salisbury is the head of social work here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Dr. Karen Capara-Fry is the Biedenhart Endowed Chair in Gerontology and the interim head of Gerontology, Sociology, and Political Science. Ladies, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having us.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. You can listen, download, podcast, and share the ULM Forum online at kedm.org in the listening room.